it's a great, great privilege to be here tonight, and I consider it a great privilege to get to speak to you from God's Word. And y'all can't hear me very well. It's odd that my wife tells me I yell too much, but I can be loud, I promise you that. Okay. I'm thankful for this meeting very much, for the opportunity for us to meet here. I want you to continue to pray that God will bless this meeting, and I want you to pray specifically that we'll get people from beyond our own borders to get some interest and come to this meeting.
Yes. Amen.
I'll just tell you what, when Brother Sonny called me and told me about this, I told him I was 100% for it, and this is going to sound crazy, but the thing that came to my mind and the thing that I would still love to see happen, even if it's years down the road, is churches established through this effort. Now that may sound crazy, but and I can't make that happen, but if that's the Lord's will, I would love for that to happen, wouldn't you?
Yes. Amen.
I would love for that to happen, but that's not my subject. I want to as long as I've known that I was going to have a chance to speak at this, I wanted to speak on this particular subject: immediate Holy Spirit regeneration.
Amen.
That is my subject. Immediate Holy Spirit regeneration. Now, the word immediate in that does not mean instantaneous, although regeneration is instantaneous.
Amen. Amen.
Come on now.
That's right. Amen.
Regeneration is the instantaneous work of Holy Spirit God on an individual who is dead in sins, but not for long.
Amen.
Immediate Holy Spirit regeneration gets the job done every single time.
Amen.
Because it's God doing the work.
Amen.
The word immediate, again, does not mean instantaneous, even though regeneration is instantaneous. That is, by the way, that is why it is called a creation.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Just like the original creation of the universe and of light, etc., was instantaneous. Don't you ever believe it took God billions of years to do that?
Amen.
Don't you ever believe that? When God said, "Let there be light," there was light.
Amen.
And by the way, that took place in 6 days, and I need to get off that. It took place in 6 days, otherwise the words in the first chapter of Genesis mean nothing.
That's right.
All right. So, instantaneous regeneration is instantaneous because it's a creation.
Right.
Creation, God's creative act was not a process. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
Now, I know everything He created took 6 days. I realize that. But when God created a given thing,
right,
that's it.
Absolutely.
Like light. Isn't that just great?
Amen.
We're talking about Almighty God. Okay. The word immediate in immediate Holy Spirit regeneration means that Holy Spirit God, and by the way, Holy Spirit God is every whit God,
right,
has the power of the Father, and the those three are one.
Right.
Holy Spirit God is God.
Amen.
As much as the Father, as much as the Son,
amen,
all the power, all the authority of either one.
Right.
The immediate in immediate Holy Spirit regeneration means that the Holy Spirit does the work of regeneration without any other intermediary person or thing or power.
Right.
The immediate part means the Holy Spirit does the work completely and totally by Himself.
Amen.
Without any help from anything. Angel, isn't that great?
Yes.
That's why it's called a creation.
Amen.
That is what immediate Holy Spirit regeneration means. It is the Bible doctrine of immediate Holy Spirit regeneration. I believe it.
Amen.
And before I leave here, I want you to, if you don't already. Okay? Now, I believe in immediate Holy Spirit regeneration, but I do not believe in it because 19th century primitive Baptists did.
That's exactly.
Not trying to be mean. I will say most of the 19th century primitive Baptists did believe in immediate Holy Spirit regeneration. But that's not why I believe in it.
Right.
I do not believe, I believe in immediate Holy Spirit regeneration, but I do not believe in it because my immediate Primitive Baptist forebears did. Including my father's in the ministry, one of whom is here tonight. And he believes it, let me tell you. I do not believe in it because Don Ferris does.
Right.
He does.
Amen.
I do not believe in it because John Calvin did.
Right.
Because he didn't. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm really not. But he did not. I do not believe in the immediate Holy Spirit regeneration because Jacobus Arminius believed in it. He didn't either. You understand what I'm saying? I'm pretty sure Martin Luther didn't. And I'm not really, I don't want to stand here and you think that I'm being overly critical of those men who did the best they knew how to reform something that needed to be reformed.
Right. Right.
But I'm going to tell you they didn't reform it enough.
Amen. Amen.
I do not believe in immediate Holy Spirit regeneration because it's taught in the 1689 London Confession of Faith, because it is not. Nor is it in the 1644 Westminster Confession of Faith either. Not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be critical. I'm not trying to pick a fight. I'm really not trying to be... what's the word I'm looking for? I'm not trying to be, sensational or, dig up dirt or anything like that. I believe in Holy Spirit regeneration because Christ and the apostles taught it.
Amen, amen, amen.
That's why I believe in it. I say, let God be true, every man a liar.
Amen.
I believe in Holy Spirit regeneration because it is taught in the Scriptures in the Old and New Testaments. We're going to get there if the Lord will bless me. It's taught in the Scriptures, cover to cover. It's taught over and over in so many different ways. Immediate Holy Spirit regeneration. That is that God, in the person of the Holy Spirit, and I know that Christ is given credit for this act also in the New Testament.
That's right.
It says, Christ quickeneth whom he will. So that's giving Christ credit for regeneration. Well, you should not be surprised at that, since those, Christ and the Holy Spirit, are on the same page. One of my favorite passages from Job is, talking about the Godhead, said he is in one mind. Imagine that now, three persons in one mind, and who can turn him? Three individuals agree all the time on everything. Hallelujah. Man, listen, there's no schism in the Godhead on the doctrine of salvation. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are on the same page when it comes to salvation. They agree 100%. Isn't that great? Okay. I also believe in the doctrine of immediate Holy Spirit regeneration because if what the Bible says about total depravity and the fall of man, if what the Bible says about those things are true, and they are true, it can be no other way.
Amen.
Now here's why I say that. The fall of man... Listen to me. The fall of man got man, all that were in Adam, and that's everybody except Christ. All of them, according to the Roman letter, were condemned. He became dead in sins. You see, the fall did not just sicken man or make him incapacitate him or cripple him. The fall did not get man into a condition where he needs to make a proper decision. The fall got man into a condition where he is unable to make any proper decision.
Amen.
He's dead in sins.
That's right, man. That's right.
dead in sins, which means dead to righteousness. Y'all hear me? Dead in sins means dead to righteousness.
Yes.
If what the Bible says about depravity is true, for example, without faith it is impossible to please God.
Amen.
And we know that not all men have faith. 2 Thessalonians 3:2, I believe it is. Not all men have faith. All men have not faith. The reason they don't is because faith is a fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
You do not possess faith until you are indwelt by the Spirit of God. Do not tell me you've got to exercise faith to be born again. You got the cart before the horse.
Amen.
You must be born again in order to have the faith to exercise.
Right.
Dead end sins means you don't have faith.
Right.
Dead end sins mean you don't have a spiritual mind.
That's right.
And I'm just throwing this out here. I think I got Bible for every bit of this. Dead end sins means you can't understand the gospel.
That's right.
Dead end sins means you can't receive spiritual things.
That's right.
That's what dead end sins means. Well, and by the way, isn't it interesting God calls it dead in sin?
Yeah.
I mean, you're walking around, but you're dead.
That's right.
People, if you are. There are people walking around alive who are dead in sins.
That's right.
Why does God call it dead? The reason God calls it dead is because that means incapable.
Amen.
No power, no strength. One of the best definitions of life, and I've got to hurry. One of the best definitions of life I ever heard came out of a biology textbook. It was the ability or the capability to respond to a stimulus. That is a very good definition of life. The capability to respond to a stimulus. Dead people do not have the capability to respond to a stimulus. And the gospel is most certainly a spiritual stimulus.
Amen. That's right.
Did you know... A person who's dead in sins can't understand the Bible.
Right.
It's what does 1 Corinthians 1 say? It's foolishness to them. All I mean, you know, 1 Corinthians 2:14. I'm just throwing us all out here to hurry on. Dead in sins means no spiritual mind. You have only a carnal mind.
That's right.
That's what dead in sins means. Okay, I lovingly submit, if that is true, man is not in any condition to meet any conditions.
Amen. That's right.
And therefore, I lovingly submit that his salvation through regeneration must be unconditional.
Right.
Otherwise, he's never going to get it.
Amen.
Do y'all understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
I mean, this is the doctrine of immediate Holy Spirit regeneration.
Amen.
This is not to throw off on the gospel. There's power in the gospel. There is power in the gospel. Romans 1 proves it. It's the power of God to all the people, to the people that are born again,
right,
to the believer. But listen to me, there is not creation power in the gospel.
Amen. That's right.
Think about what I'm saying.
Yep.
What power did it take to create this universe from nothing? That is exactly the power it takes to get you eternal life.
Amen.
And that power is not resident in the gospel.
Amen.
Y'all follow what I'm saying? So,
amen,
this is immediate Holy Spirit regeneration.
That's right.
Isn't it great?
Amen.
By the way, this is one reason we love to give God all the glory.
Amen.
For our salvation.
Amen.
Because it came from Him. It's His decision. By the way, when you're dead in sins, you can't make decisions.
Right.
Even if you needed to, I'm not sure that even makes sense. Even if you needed to, y'all understand what I'm saying? I know you do. Bless your hearts. Okay. Now, John 3:8, if I understand it correctly, can I just throw it out here? John 3:8, well, let's read it. John 3:8. And by the way, this sermon is not going to contain anything new.
Hope not.
It's just not. This is just... It's the thing that's been on my mind for weeks and weeks to speak to you here. John 3:8 says, the wind bloweth. Well, he's talking to Nicodemus about being born again. Incidentally, do not ever believe that the Lord is telling Nicodemus he needed to be born again.
That's right.
He's telling Nicodemus, you must be born again or you wouldn't know what you know.
Right.
That is what Christ is telling Nicodemus. Nicodemus would have had no desire to come to Christ. No desire. He would. By the way, and you know Nicodemus was even present at the burial of our Lord?
Right. Yeah.
What's up with that? Now, a lot of people say, well, he came by night. You just better be glad he came.
Yeah.
Amen. The Lord said, look, talking about being born again, the wind bloweth where it listeth. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. I lovingly submit to you, everybody that's born of God is born of God the same way.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
They are all born of God the same way.
Amen.
So, any theory that I come up with that has to have backup plans, I've got to reconsider it.
Amen.
All right? If my theory about salvation, about God's people being born again, if it means I got to have 3 or 4 different backup plans to cover everybody, maybe my theory might be inaccurate when the Bible says they're all born of God the same way.
Amen.
So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. Now, I would also point out, if that is true, and I can find in the Bible one person that's born of God, I can say the rest of them are born of God the same way.
That's right.
And I would just throw out here John the Baptist. There is no doubt the angel that came to tell Zacharias and Elizabeth that they were going to have a child when they were too old, the angel told them, the angel said to Zacharias, he shall be filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb.
That's right. Yes.
Now that's what the angel said.
Amen.
There are people that can't believe that. I believe it. You know why? Because I believe in immediate Holy Spirit regeneration. John didn't have to hear the gospel. The Spirit of God moved on him while he was in his mother's womb, and he was filled with the Spirit.
Right, amen.
To such a degree that when he heard a gospel message at 6 months in his mother's womb, he leapt for joy.
That's
amen.
Right. Amen.
By the way, that's why babies should be in church.
Amen.
Thank you for that, amen. Babies should be in church. The gospel can affect them.
Amen.
If they've got an inner man, if they've got a spirit and soul in there, if they've got a mind, the gospel can affect them and them not and not even know it, not even remember it. I'll ask you, have you ever had any meals you don't remember? I remember some of them. My mama made a skillet full of fried potatoes, ate the whole thing. That's terrible to do that. But I've had a bunch of meals I don't remember. Haven't you? I would be willing to say that some of the meals you got through your mother's milk, you don't remember. Isn't that great? Zacharias, your son's going to be filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. And then we know that when John heard the message, he leapt for joy in his mother's womb. And joy is the fruit of the Spirit over there in Galatians 5, 22 and 23.
Right.
Joy is the fruit of the Spirit. There's no doubt in my mind that John was born again before he was born of his mother.
Amen.
Now, what I just said is not to say that all of God's children are born again in their mother's womb.
Right.
It is to say that they are all born of God the same way that John was.
Amen.
That is what I mean.
Amen.
Now, if Holy Spirit God is the one doing the regenerating, and Holy Spirit God is God, and has creative power, and is sovereign, I submit, I don't need a backup plan.
Yeah,
that's right. Amen. That's right.
And I'm not trying to be critical, but let's reason together. I'm not trying to be critical. I guess this phone is recording? Okay. I'm not trying to be critical.
But I read a lot of commentators.
But maybe I shouldn't. I read a lot of commentators that insist that one must hear the gospel to be born again. And then when pressed about people that don't have a chance to hear the gospel, they say, well, the Lord saves them anyway. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not picking on anybody in this room. I'm telling you what learned men write in their commentaries. I will not name them, but I could. Learned men write these things. That's a backup plan.
That's right. Yeah, sure.
See. That's a backup plan. No, there's not two different ways that people are born again. John 3:8 says they're all born again the same way.
Amen.
And the way they are born again is by immediate Holy Spirit regeneration. And hallelujah, what I love about that so much, people can mistakenly think this means only a few go to heaven. Don't you believe that for 1 second. Don't believe it for a nanosecond. The Holy Spirit God can reach people that the gospel cannot reach.
Right.
The Holy Spirit can reach people where the gospel is actually outlawed and forbidden.
Right.
Holy Spirit God can reach people where there are no Bibles, where there are no churches, where there are no preachers, where those things are forbidden, where Christians are murdered. The Holy Spirit God can reach those people. Holy Spirit God can reach people we will never reach.
Amen.
By the way, this is how God could say in His Word, I will lose nothing.
Amen.
But raise it up at the last day. Isn't that glorious?
Amen.
God gets the glory for immediate Holy Spirit regeneration. John 3:8 says they're all born again the same way. I'll go all the way back to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve fell. My opinion is they fell on the first day they were created. I don't know that I can prove that, but I got a strong opinion on it. Of course, most of my opinions are strong. Tim. Adam and Eve fell, grant that, right? And when they fell, by the way, they're the only two people that ever became sinners. They're the only two people that ever became sinners. All the rest of us were conceived in sin. Anyway, they became sinners, dead in sins. So, that means at one moment they had a fellowship with God, a relationship with God, could understand God, and the next moment they could not. They were dead in sins. And everything the Bible says about being dead in sins applied to Adam and Eve before they were born again. And yes, they were born again.
Right.
Yes, the people in the Old Testament were born again just like the people in the New Testament. That's what I just read in John 3:8. They're all born again the same way.
Amen.
They're all born again the same way. By the way, that's kind of interesting, but how were the people born again before there was a Bible? How were the people born again before there was an Old Testament church, much less a New Testament church? How were people born again where there were no preachers? How are Adam and Eve born again? Both of them were dead in sins. Who's going to preach to whom? I'm not trying to be mean. Ever how God regenerated Adam and Eve in the garden is how He regenerated you and me.
Amen.
Y'all see what I'm saying? John 3:8. John 3:8 says a whole lot. People just read over John 3:8 and they don't think about everything it's saved. Okay. Now I said, John the Baptist was born of God in his mother's womb. And if I had to say what I believe to be the Bible pattern, I would say that most, if not all of God's children are born of God when they're very, very, very young. Now, listen to this. One time, this is Matthew chapter 21. By the way, that's interesting, isn't it? John the Baptist being born of God in his mother's womb. And by the way, just let me throw it out here also. David made to help while he was on his mother's breast.
Right.
Psalms 22.
Amen.
Go read that. David was made to hope while he was on his mother's breast. Psalm 22. Don't go there now. I'm rushing right along here. Psalm 22, David was made to hope on his mother's breast. So a suckling child born of God? What say ye? John the Baptist in his mother's womb, born of God. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5 said that God sanctified Jeremiah in his mother's womb and ordained him a prophet while he was in his mother's womb. Now that's three that I can think of just right here without going off and praying over the week. Now, and with that in mind, I do want you to turn to Matthew 21. Matthew 21, listen to this. They came to the Lord one time and Jesus went out into the temple and did a bunch of stuff and overthrew the money changers and all that and did a lot of great work. And lo and behold, verse 15, and when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children, this is why children ought to be in church. Did you know if a child is born of God, the gospel can mean something to them? Even if they're sitting in the floor playing with tiddlywinks, the gospel can have its effect on them. That's why they should be in church, not in the basement, watching VeggieTales.
Amen.
I'm not trying to be mean.
So the Lord's doing all this, and the chief priests and the scribes see the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, here are children in the temple now saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Amen. Children are worshiping Christ. A bunch of those knuckle-headed Pharisees, too big for their theological britches, wouldn't worship Christ, but the children will. Hosanna to the Son of David. And the scribes and the Pharisees are sore displeased. Why would anybody be displeased at children worshiping Christ? Go figure. And Christ said unto them, and they said unto Christ, hearest thou what these say? Yeah, of course Christ heard what they were saying. I mean, they were worshiping Christ. Christ was receiving their worship. He was worthy of it. He knew exactly what was going on. And Jesus saith unto them, yea, yeah, I hear it. Have you never read? Here are these scribes and Pharisees. The Lord said, haven't you? Here's one you need to read. Have you never read? By the way, this is Psalms 8 and 2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Amen. Now, a babe and a suckling's got to be born of God in order to praise God. Because they're conceived in sin just like everybody else. This is saying that babes and sucklings are born. I'm not saying all of them are. That's up to God. But I know that some of them are born of God and able to praise and honor and worship God even as babes and sucklings.
Amen.
Isn't that what that's teaching? Isn't that great?
Yes.
Now, this is before a child can understand the gospel.
Amen.
Before they can do things. It's even before they can make decisions. It's even probably, in many cases, before they're even aware of their own personhood. Now, I want to say something about that. Imagine that. I am firmly of the opinion that regeneration involves the God writing His laws in the heart of His heir of promise.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Yep.
That God writes His laws in there, and I interpret that to mean that is where your conscience commences. Where you then have the ability to consider your own actions. You think about what I'm telling you. You now have the ability to consider your own actions with an objective moral compass with which to measure them.
That's right.
As a result of being born of God. Now I'm going to gently but lovingly insist that the conscience of an unregenerate man cannot and does not work like the conscience of a born-again man.
Right.
If that is true, the conscience was not affected by the fall.
You're right.
That's right.
That won't work.
Right. That's right.
If an unregenerate man's got a conscience that tells him right and wrong, just like a born-again man, he's doing something that pleases God, and that, by the Bible definition, is impossible.
Right?
Amen. Right?
Yes.
Amen.
So I am telling you, my firm conviction that regeneration involves the writing of God's laws in the heart of the heir of promise so that they now have this conscience,
right,
and their thoughts meanwhile excusing or accusing one another.
Right.
If that's true, you better be glad that children are given that when they're very young. Try to imagine raising one without a conscience. See, this is very important that they have that in order for the teachings of their parents even to have the proper effect upon them. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Ooh, there's involved here. This is important. In fact, I think that text, is it Romans where it talks about the Gentiles which have not the law but do by nature the things contained in the law? That's not their natural nature, that's their spiritual nature.
That's right.
Show the work of God written in their hearts, right, their thoughts meanwhile accusing and excusing one another. That's because, in other words, he's saying the Gentiles, what that's saying is the Gentiles were born of God before they ever had the gospel.
That's right.
That's what that's saying.
Amen.
Isn't that great? How does the Bible teach that? Because the Bible teaches immediate Holy Spirit regeneration. Isn't it great? By the way, tell me that studying Christianity isn't fun. Now, I'm using the word fun loosely. Now, I'll tell you something else. Let me tell you something else. Now that I mention it, studying the fundamentals of Christianity
is probably the single most challenging intellectual exercise I have ever undergone. And I've had some coursework. I'm not just bragging. I've had all the math you can think of, all the physics you can think of, all the philosophy, all the English, all the literature. I've had it all. Nothing is more difficult or challenging, or I will say joy in giving, than studying the theology of God's Word. Okay, John Staton is coming up in our church as a minister, y'all know that. And by the way, we're thinking about ordaining him in about a year. Y'all pray for me. I'm scared to death about that. I don't know how to go about that. It scares me to death. Here's what I told John Staton. John Staton, your job is to master the theology of the Bible. That's your job. You've got to master the theology of the Bible. You have to do that in order to be able to rightly divide any one passage in it. I told John, I said, John, you're going to have to know more about the Bible than you will ever be able to teach publicly. Amen. I believe this with all my heart. I'm not saying I'm there yet. By the way, a preacher's training never ends. Ministerial training never ends. I'm being trained now. 57 years old. I need to be trained. I need to learn some self-control, don't I? Self-control, not thrash about and yell and scream. Okay. David, Jeremiah, John the Baptist were born again when they were children. Babies, babies, babies. Out of mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. Can you believe that they were born again by the power of the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit God? Immediate Holy Spirit regeneration. The Holy Spirit coming to the individual at the time of God's choosing. Because the person that's dead in sin can't choose. So the Holy Spirit coming to the individual that's dead in sins at the time of the Holy Spirit's choosing and imparting eternal, irrevocable life, glorified life in the image of Christ, sinless life, ready to go to heaven, life. At the moment of regeneration,
amen.
That's what it's all about. And incidentally, this life that's given to this individual that's in the image of God, created in righteousness and true holiness, this new creature, this inner man, which is the result of regeneration. Isn't that great? That new creature that's in there, created by God now. At the moment of regeneration, that new creature doesn't need anything else done to it in order to go to heaven. Right. It's ready from that moment. It doesn't have to hear the gospel in order to be ready to go to heaven. Now it needs to hear the gospel. So do you. So do I. But not in order for that new creature to be conformed to the image of God. This is Holy Spirit. Immediate regeneration, which is instantaneous also, I say again. Bam! Yeah. That was too slow. Thank you, Brother Don. or over there where it talks about we're going to be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, that's about how long it takes to regenerate somebody.
That's right.
See, it's not this long process, you know, where, you know, this has to happen, and then something else has to happen, and then something else has to happen, and then something may happen, and over maybe. No, instantaneous. This is the doctrine of regeneration. Okay? Now, John 1. And then I'm going to go to the Old Testament to give you what I think is the best, most accurate, clearest physical illustration of this spiritual truth. And by the way, did you know that the Bible is absolutely crammed full of physical illustrations of spiritual truth? Physical things that illustrate to us spiritual truth. I said to you a moment ago, even the word dead. The word dead isn't in the Bible on accident. When I think about dead, I worked for a funeral home part-time. Did y'all know that? I worked part-time for a funeral home. I've seen some dead people. I'm not trying to be gross. brothers and sisters, listen. A dead person doesn't have the capability to do anything. They don't have the capability to respond to a stimulus. They don't feel anything. They are not hungry. They are not thirsty. They do not think. They do not reason. You cannot communicate with them. This is a dead person. And you put all that in the spiritual realm. If I had a dead body in here right now, and I brought a locomotive, and inverted it on that dead person, stood the locomotive up on the dead person will not feel anything. Be dead. That's why that's in the Bible. How long would I have to argue with a dead person to get them to be willing to do something? How long would I have to talk to a dead person to get them to be willing to do something? Incidentally, since I said that, let me just go ahead and tell you, there is no such thing as somebody getting willing to be born again.
Amen.
I'm sorry, there's just not. Now, you get willing to be converted. Yeah. See, regeneration and conversion are not the same thing.
Right.
No such thing as somebody getting willing to be born again. Psalms 110 verse 3 is not talking about being born again. It's talking about some people that may be stubborn getting willing to follow God. Let me give you an example. Jonah. 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale got him willing. Well, I bet it would have made you willing too. He didn't want to do what God said. God said, go to Nineveh, and he went the other way. And he thought he was going to get away from God. Forget it. God gulped him up in a whale. And he stayed in there 3 days and three nights. Seaweed wrapped around his head. Somehow God preserved his sorry life. He wasn't digested. He should have been digested in 3 days. Out in the drought. God preserved his sorry life. The whale vomited him out. And that got Jonah willing. But he still didn't have the right attitude. What got Moses willing to do what God said 40 years on the backside of the desert? What got the children of Israel willing to cross the Jordan River 40 years in the wilderness? God can work on you so hard and so hot that you'll be willing to do what he says do. That's what that means. My people shall be willing in the day of my power. That's what that means. It does not mean they get willing to be born again because they're dead.
Amen.
Oh, do you see it? If you're willing to follow God, if God has worked in you to will and to do of his good pleasure, it's because you are already born of God.
Amen.
Oh, this is what I know from being dead in sins. Go to work for a funeral home. That is not the best thing that's blessed me from working for the funeral home, but I have learned that. I'll tell you something else I learned from working at the funeral home since I'm off on that. Burial is immersion.
Amen.
You have never taken a body out into the cemetery, sprinkled dirt on it, and called it burial.
That's right.
I'll just throw that out there. Anyway.
Good.
Well, I'm not trying to be... I sound like I'm mad. I'm not mad. I'm so happy to be talking to you tonight. I can't understand it. I'm not one bit mad. I know I'm yelling. I know I'm beating the air. But I'm not mad. Okay. All right. John 1. John chapter 1. I've got two places I got to go to. I do know when I started. Can you believe that? That's terrible to say that, isn't it? I know when I started. And I know when I should quit. Now, that doesn't mean that's when I will quit. That's different. Okay, John chapter 1. He came into his own, and his own received him not. Incidentally, let me tell you something. Some of those people that received him not were born again, children of God, who had been indoctrinated into error for hundreds and hundreds of years. Can a child of God be misguided? Can a child of God believe stuff that's wrong? Can a child of God persecute other Christians? By the way, you know John, I mentioned John Calvin earlier. John Calvin didn't believe in immediate Holy Spirit regeneration. He persecuted the people that did. He persecuted the people that believed this. I'm not picking on him either. I'm just telling you historical fact. Okay?
He came into his own. That's the Jews, the nation of the Jews. As a nation, they rejected Christ. Let me say again, some of the people that rejected him will go to heaven. Incidentally, let me just throw this out here too. If the unforgivable sin is rejecting Christ, how can you ever get over it? If the unforgivable sin is rejecting Christ and you're going to go to hell every time, then one time you do that, that's it. You can't make that up later on. You can't change your mind later on. Just throwing that out there. All right. He came into his own and his own received him not. The national Jews. Now, there were some of the Jews that did receive him. Some of the first apostles were Jews. There were a few. But as a nation, they rejected Christ. The very people to whom he came, the very people who had the scriptures forecasting him, the very people who should have known Christ when he came, had been blinded for so long by false teaching. Born-again people blinded by false teaching that they didn't recognize Christ when he came. And by the way, one thing they were taught wrong? Y'all, this is taking too long. One thing they were taught wrong was that Christ would come and deliver them from Roman rule, and he would sit on Solomon's throne. That's what they thought. Now, by the way, still people thinking that.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
They don't understand the spiritual kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Right. To quote Edward Cagle, if you're waiting on the kingdom to come, you're going to miss it. That's Edward Cagle, a hero of mine. Anyway, okay. He came into his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That is in a manifest way.
Right.
Let me prove it. Even to them that believe on his name. See, he gave that ability to people that believed on his name. And you can't believe on his name unless you're born of God. And that's proven in verse 13, which were born. I'm skipping the parenthetical part. No, I'm not. There's no parenthetical. I'm skipping to the end. These people that he gave the power to become sons of God, that believed on his name, they were born of God. That's the first and end of verse 13. In the middle it says, what regeneration is not. Regeneration, born of God now. Regeneration is born of God. Regeneration is not of blood. Regeneration is not of blood. That means your human relationships amount to nothing. Your nationality, nothing. God has a people in every nation, kindred, tribe, tongue, and family. Your family relationships, nothing. Doesn't amount to anything. Doesn't have anything to do with you being born of God. Why? Because the only thing that has anything to do with you being born of God is God. Holy Spirit God. Your being born of God is not of blood. Mom and daddy don't have a thing to do with it. Mom and daddy don't need to worry about it, by the way. God's got it taken care of.
Amen.
Mom and daddy don't have a thing to do with it. Amen? Mom and daddy don't need to be carrying. Mom and daddy do not need to be carrying the load of thinking they've got to do something to get their children born of God. That is the job of God.
Amen.
It is not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. Now that is what I'm telling you. It is not of the will of the flesh. Now listen to me. If God does something to you prior to your regeneration to make you willing to be born of God, it is of the will of your flesh.
Amen.
It is. If God has to work you around, water you around, woo you. By the way, you don't woo dead people.
Amen.
You don't woo dead people. You don't try to persuade dead people. You ever try to persuade a dead person? I'd just like you to see it. Try it. Try to persuade a dead person. Say, listen, Mr. Dead Person, I want you to believe that it's Tuesday. How long will it take you to convince the person it's Tuesday? On a Tuesday. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Okay, regeneration is not of blood, it is not of the will of the flesh. And I'm glad it says the will of the flesh. That means it's not of the will of the flesh of the person being born again. It's not of the will of the flesh of anybody else either.
Amen.
It's not of the will of the flesh, period. Anybody's flesh,
amen.
Period. Nor, in case that doesn't cover the ground, regeneration is not of the will of man. That includes humanity. So whose will is involved?
God's
will.
Amen.
Do y'all see that?
Yes.
I mean, that's right there in the Bible. This is talking about people being born of God. And by the way, these people were born of God before they heard the gospel, before they received Christ. They were born of God before all that.
Right.
If you understand dead, you know that, right? Did you know your mind, you have to be alive to have a mind? And by the way, let me tell you something terrible or wonderful. If you are a child of God, you have two of those.
That's right.
You have two minds. You have the carnal mind, you still got it. How many evil thoughts go through your mind? And you say to yourself, what? Where did that come from? That ever happened to you? Does it or does it not? And by the way, how is it that you sit in judgment on yourself?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you're... What? So you have this thought, and somehow you're looking at that thought with another mind.
That's right.
Amen.
You follow what I'm saying?
Right.
If that is your case, you have the carnal mind and you have the spirit, you have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
You have both of them, you are a child of God.
Amen.
Now let me ask you something, since I'm saying all this, let me tell you, how preposterous would it be, I'm not trying to be mean, for me to stand up before a congregation of people that are in that condition, how preposterous would it be for me to stand in front of people in that condition that have these two minds and can look at what they do and tell them what they need to do to be born again? Y'all follow what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be mean. Come, let us reason together, Isaiah said. So, John tells us that regeneration is not of the blood, it is not of the will of the flesh, it is not of the will of man. That tells us, in essence, it is of God.
Amen.
It is of God, totally of God. By the way, this decision, God didn't make this decision today. God didn't decide this today.
Amen.
In fact, if I may be so blunt, as you turn to Ezekiel chapter 16, if I may be so blunt, I'll tell you God never decided this. If God decided this, he changed. Now, that kind of language is in the Bible, I think, to get us to understand. I don't think God ever didn't love you.
Right, that's right.
God never didn't love you. God never didn't intend to save his sheep.
Amen.
God always loved them. I've loved you with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn you. God always intended to save the sheep.
Amen.
Always, always, always. Or to say, to quote Harold Stumbo, you were in Christ before you were in Adam.
That's right.
That is a mind blower. Now, we talk about God and election, and that's exactly right because that's Bible terminology. But God being eternal, I don't think God ever didn't plan to save his people. So, this is not something that God is wondering about. This is not something that God is waiting to find out how this thing's going to work out. Isn't that great? That's why he says in the Bible, of all that thou hast given me, I will lose nothing. The reason God can say that, the reason God can guarantee that he will not lose any of the people Christ died for, is because regeneration is immediate Holy Spirit regeneration. It's not dependent on men. Hallelujah. I don't want my eternal salvation dependent on men. Do you? No, sir, it's not dependent on men. It's dependent only on the will and the power of Almighty God. That's all it depends on. Isn't that great? That's the best news I can tell you. And if you have any cognizance of depravity, I'm telling you the best news you ever heard in your life. The best news you ever heard in your life. Now, as you've turned to Ezekiel 16, I'm going to go through the first six verses very quickly. I've got 5 minutes. 5 minutes. I do know when I started. I mean, I'm just crazy. Just afflicted. I don't know. My mind doesn't work very well, just to tell you the truth. It's just all over the place. Okay. Ezekiel chapter 16 is, in my opinion, the clearest physical description of the moment of regeneration, perhaps in all of God's Word. And it's given to us in the most amazing language. The word of the Lord came unto me, Ezekiel 16, chapter 1. Son of man caused Jerusalem to know her abominations. We're going to rush along here. The fact that that's Jerusalem means this is actually addressed to the church, not to all the elect. But what I'm fixing to describe is something that happens to all the elect. That is really important. Because later on, this lady that gets life also marries Christ. And I'm just going to leave that there. Okay. And say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativities are the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, thy mother an Hittite. In other words, you are pagan by nature. We all are. Just think of the silly stuff we want to worship. Just think of the silly stuff that we want to give allegiance to. In fact, I'll just go ahead and say this. There are people who are so allegiant to the United States and thinking that's what's going to deliver us, I think they are idolatrous too. America is great, but America in God. I love America. I don't live anywhere else. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Just think of the silly stuff we want to worship. And think if we're not pagan by nature too. I come very, very near worshiping a double cheeseburger. Just to be blunt. Did you know parents can nearly worship their children and commit a paganism? I'm really serious. It is even possible, listen to me, for people to worship the church and commit a paganism. The church is great, but it isn't God. And as for thy nativity, that is the day of your birth. And I tell you right, I don't know, it's almost mind-boggling that this is put in the Bible because it's plain out and out gross. As in for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut. Neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Now I am firmly of the opinion, this baby was born dead. As a picture of death in sins. Born dead. And born dead to such a degree that nothing's done to it to take care of it because it's dead. It's born dead. The proof comes in verse 6. Thus thinketh Brother Gary, okay? Navel not cut, not washed. Thou wast not salted at all. They rubbed baby with salt to make them tough so they wouldn't be infected with anything. Nor swaddled at all. This baby was not... No, they didn't even put a diaper on this baby. Now, that's gross. And it gets worse. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out into the earth. Not only is the baby in this condition, it's thrown out into the dirt. But thou wast cast out into the open field to the loathing of that person in the day that thou wast born. Now I said to you a moment ago, people can walk around dead in sins. There are people on this earth right now that are walking around dead in sins. There are going to be people go to hell. A lot of people don't want to think about that. And since I said that, I'll also say the following. The people that are sent there, that will honor and glorify God just as much, but in a different way, as Him saving His people from their sins. It will. That will prove God to be the sin-hating, holy God that the Bible describes Him as. But we don't like to think about that too much. Okay, all right. So here's this baby born dead. Everybody understand? Now, even if you don't agree with me, at least allow me to say, this baby's born dead. thrown out in the field. It's yucky. It's yucky and gross to think about this. It's amazing that this is in the Bible to me. And when I passed by thee, this is the Lord talking. When I passed by thee, now who's passing by whom? It is not the baby passing by the Lord or coming to the Lord or anything like that. It's the Lord coming to the baby. Amen. Why? The baby's dead.
Amen.
When I passed by thee, and I saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, one little four-letter word.
Yeah.
And remember, this is the commandment of God. God. The God that said, let there be light, and there was light, says to the dead baby, the irresistible command, very simply stated, live. What do you think the baby does when the Lord says that? What do you think the baby does? Do you think the baby stays dead when the Lord says live? What do you think? Who's God? When God says to the dead baby, live, the baby lives. Now I know, in verse 6, it repeats it. It does not repeat it because the Lord didn't get the job done the first time and had to try a second time. It puts it in there to repeat for emphasis so that you and I will know that the Lord said to the baby, live, and the baby lives.
Amen.
I thank you for your great attention.